We refer to this wonderful mystery as the incarnation of Christ, the Son of God into human flesh. But it really wasn't the first incarnation. The first incarnation was at creation, when the Son was the Word spoken by the Father, through whom everything came into being. And so we're looking at a vast picture here, a little less than 14 billion years, and the vastness of that, and the infinite patience of a God who allows that to take its course over all that time. You know, scientists tell us that if you put all of that creation story into a 24-hour clock, humans come on the scene at the last second before midnight. So that's how recent we are, and that's how vast this mystery is. But it wasn't just like the Big Bang, you know, the word spoken. It was the word speaking. Creation for God is ongoing. It's always happening. And the birth of creation is ongoing. And the birth of the human race is ongoing. And our rebirth in Christ Jesus is ongoing. These aren't just one-time events that we celebrate in the past, but they are going on all the time. So, in giving birth, there's a dying, there's a sacrifice, a giving of oneself. So when we say that the Father begets the Son and the Holy Spirit, there is something given by the Father, something lost, you might say. It's sacrificial love. When human parents give birth to children, there's a giving. You give your DNA, you give your genetic makeup, you give of parts of your body, but that's just the beginning. Then there's the rearing and the educating and the feeding and the taking care of and the worrying for the rest of their lives, you know. Parenting is ongoing. Birth is it's a participle, it's a gerund, it's not a set verb of the past. So God, for all these billions of years, has given of himself, emptied himself into that creation, loving it, worrying about it, nurturing it, making sure that it continued. And so when the Son comes into Jesus in human flesh in one point in history, 2,000 years ago, and we heard that Christmas proclamation that dates it in human history and in Israel's history and in our history. That sounds like a one-time event, but it really isn't. It's not just the fact that we celebrate it on December 25th every year, but we're not commemorating some past event. There's something about this that's ongoing, something about this that's present. This is the mystery of the liturgy. We talk about Christ's presence here. We talk about not just keeping the memory alive. We're not just honoring a past event, but we believe in the presence of it and the vitality of it now. And so when Christ becomes the firstborn of the new creation by his death and resurrection, through his sending of the Spirit and through our baptism, we get reborn. But that rebirth, that baptism, you know, it was a one-time event many years ago for most of us, and yet it's ongoing. We're constantly being reborn. Birth, new life, resurrection, and dying. Death and resurrection, they're all part of the same process. We speak of the Paschal mystery, the dying and rising of Christ, and our participation in that mystery. That somehow this isn't just something for us to admire, but it's something in which we are involved, immersed. We immerse ourselves in that mystery, and we let that baptismal water wash over us over and over again. And Eucharist is completion of the sacraments of initiation, and it happens over and over again. And it has to do with the dying and arising. We remember his sacrificial death at Calvary 2,000 years ago, but we say and we believe that that death and resurrection is not just then, it's here tonight. It's a reality that continues. So, if God has always been part of his creation, if God is the author of this immense universe and all this history, the miracle of the second incarnation, the one we celebrate tonight, that miracle is his revealing that mystery to us. It was always true. There was never a time when God wasn't present to God's creation. It's always been true. But we, through sin, didn't know it. We didn't trust it. We didn't hope in it. We felt the loss caused by our injustices to one another. And, you know, the history of the Old Testament is a checkered history. There are some glorious moments, and there are some tragic moments. And there's some real justice and godlike activity, but there's injustice too. And there were wars, and there was slavery, in the midst of all that sin, God continually sent prophets like Isaiah that we heard from tonight to build this hope that we're not lost. That this unity with God that God has always desired, this oneness with God's entire creation, that still exists despite our sin. Even though we may have lost sight of it, even though, and there are some good reasons to lose hope, just read the stories in the internet, listen to the news. I mean, it's easy to argue that everything is lost, and that there's no hope. But the miracle of Christmas, the miracle of the incarnation, the Paschal mystery, is given to us as an ongoing revelation so we don't lose hope. So we don't see ourselves as mired in sin, but destined for glory. Destined to share divine life. Destined to be like Jesus and like Mary, innocent, holy, blameless. Our destiny is not to be of this world. Our destiny is to be of the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, justice reigns. In the kingdom of God, there is only life. In the kingdom of God, there is no war, there is no injustice, there is no none of that sin. And that's who we are. So when Jesus comes to reveal who God is in the flesh, he's really revealing to us who we are in the flesh. We are children of God, destined for eternity, destined for a share in divine life.